Hi, if I could take a moment of your time before we start, if you've enjoyed previous episodes or if you enjoy this episode, if you could subscribe on the platform that you listen to, that would be really helpful. It helps us get more guests and push the podcast forward. Thanks.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Okay, welcome everyone to Car Chat episode number 3. And today I have with me Mr. Sid North, or Sideways Sid, as he's commonly known.
Yeah, hello.
So Sid is a car guy, I guess.
Yeah, definitely a car obsessive, wrecking tyres, likes to drive everything.
Hooligan.
Yeah,
been the hooligan. And I would say would you call yourself a YouTuber now?
Yeah, I would call myself a YouTuber. I'm wanting to go into the journalist route.
I'd say you've been taking it super seriously for the last year or so.
Yeah.
Really stepping up.
Yeah, so over, I think, March, I had a bit of a change, but I think started 2 years ago. And basically started with me just going around Essex in a Ford Fiesta ST, doing stuff that probably isn't quite sociable, and then started doing the same thing in other cars, more expensive cars like 458s, Murcielagos, stuff like that. But no, genuinely, just making content. And then I think it got serious. Well, I decided to take it seriously in March this year. Decided to go down the film route rather than vlogs, which is interesting when you're not a car magazine like Evo or.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, when I say start taking it seriously, I don't think that's necessarily what I meant, because making any video is so much effort, takes so much time. But yeah, you really switched it up and like tried to basically elevate your production to, I would say, at least on the same level as the sort of Evo videos and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's sort of been the inspiration, because I mean, Evo was around like during my teens, and that's how I started getting. So obviously I'm young, I'm 22, so obviously back like when I'm doing my GCSEs, Chris Harris was the peak, you know.
Yeah,
on Drive, you remember Drive,
everybody. Yeah, exactly.
Drive before now, you know,
best videos ever.
You know, you had Matt Farah, you know, but more importantly Chris Harris was.
What was your favourite Chris Harris video?
Oh, it's a hard one. I don't have a favourite. Everything, I'm terrible at deciding.
Or a standout, doesn't necessarily have to be the one you've most rewatched.
The one I most rewatched has got to be the Ferrari F12 around Anglesey.
Ooh,
that was a good one.
With a stack of tyres.
Yeah, with a stack of tyres. To me, I'd love to have that on a video.
Yeah. It would be sick.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant. What about you?
The other one, I think, like yourself, I'd say I've definitely watched a lot of them a lot of times, which definitely flips to some content you see nowadays that's definitely not rewatchable. A lot of people watch it, but doesn't have that rewatch value. The F40, F50 video, Anglesey.
Yeah, that's very good.
Another, just because two iconic cars going sideways, you never see that.
Yeah, and his reaction was just, you know, that can't be scripted.
Yeah, you know? you couldn't fake that. He was ecstatic about it. But so you've been doing some YouTube videos, and then and people start lending you cars.
Surprisingly.
And you turned up today in a brand new Porsche Panamera. What was it? Turbo
SE Hybrid.
That's
so it's
name.
The I know, what a mouthful. So it's the top of the Panamera lineup. So it's the Turbo S, so it has the 4-litre twin turbocharged V8, and it's got electric motors strapped to it, similar electric motors that you find in the Porsche 918 and in the lower range Porsches. So it's got 680 horsepower, 626 foot-pounds of torque, because it's just...
It's four-wheel drive,
all-wheel drive system, torque vectoring. It's got every bloody option, as you know, thrown to it because it's a Porsche press car.
Yeah.
And you had a brief look at it as well.
Yeah, I had a little look. It's a very smart looking thing. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it sounds meaty. Do you know what? They got the exhaust bang on right, because nowadays cars with modern day exhaust, it's, you know, it's all too artificially woofily and pops and pangs. I mean, I was driving an E63S a couple of months back, and it just had too many pops and bangs for my liking, and this one's just about right. It's like, it reminds me of an old 928.
Yeah, it does happen a lot sometimes with cars now. I remember my Boxster that I had, a 981 Boxster, I feel like that was the sort of about the right, that was 2012, the time when people started putting in pops and just like overrun, that's just hilariously ridiculous.
Yeah.
Same on my M2, if you put it in the like the right mode, it's just like all the time, and it's, whilst it's a bit entertaining, it's a bit stupid.
Yeah, it can get a bit silly over a bit. So it's nice and refreshing. I mean, obviously, by the time your guests or you listeners, not guests, I'm the guest. But by the time they listen to this, obviously, videos would have been out, possibly not. But I've only had the car since early this morning, so I've driven it around and driven it here. Yeah. So yeah, the whole point of the Panamera Turbo S is the fact that, you know, it's meant to be a green Porsche that's got 680 horsepower.
Will it do electric only?
Yes, it can run 30 miles on e-power alone, up to 50 or 60 miles an hour.
Okay.
So it's pretty good. I got the car delivered to me with not that much juice, so when I get home, I'll plug it up.
Did you notice how quickly it was charging up? Like just driving normally?
I was going quite a fair lick on some roads, and obviously it weighs 2.3 tons. That's, well, the extra 300 kilos comes from those batteries. It's got braking regen, which it, you know, stores all the heat used from the brakes and then, you know, regens the batteries. And I did quite a bit of stopping through this B road in a 2.3 ton Panamera, and then I gained 10 miles range.
not too bad.
I don't know if most Panamera owners would drive in a manner that I would, but it was good.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting car. I would say my questions about a car like that, ignoring the drivetrain, because is it quite like a comfy, sound insulated place?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're out of the environment?
Yeah, you do. And I think the interesting thing with this Panamera, especially with this new platform they've come out, don't exactly know the code name because I'm not that nerdy, but it shares obviously the platform with the new Bentley Continental. And obviously it being a VW Group vehicle, I'm sure Porsche's engineers have had a little chat with Bentley's engineers and gone, do you know what, can we learn a few things? Because obviously it's so well insulated, and the best description I can come out of when I'm driving it, it's got Bentley qualities about it. You shut the door, you touch everything, it just feels expensive. The biggest problem I have with it is the price. Now, that car it starts at 137 grand for the Turbo SE Hybrid, once you smack a few options.
Yeah.
The one out there is £160,000. Now, that's quite a bit of money.
It is. And it depends what you're looking at in terms of that price bracket as well.
That's the thing. There isn't a car in that price bracket. I mean, there isn't a car in its class. I couldn't put a BMW M760 Li in it because it's too limo like.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a good driving car for what it is, but it's not something that you hustle down a B road. neither would you take a Mercedes S-Class S63, you know, down that sort of route either, because it's too limo-like. And I think the Panamera, yeah, it does the limo stuff better than the previous one. And I used to be an owner of the previous Panamera. I had a Panamera diesel, which I loved. And the one thing I always complained about the previous Panamera was it was just a bit too sporty if you ever wanted to take passengers, because you sat quite low. But then you almost want that because it's a Porsche and that's what people want. So it's a hard one.
That funny sort of middle ground between it's not a sort of luxury people chauffeur around vehicle.
No.
But also, it's not just a pure sports car because it weighs 2.2 tons.
Yeah, it weighs 2. Yeah, it's just the weight.
And size.
Crazy. Yeah, the size of it's a big one. I mean, coming to yours, there was some whip restrictions and I panicked. Yeah. just remind me of the old days of owning a Panamera. They're just wide and colossal. But it's a cliche of a word, but when you do drive it a bit quick and you knock it into Sport Plus, it does sort of shrink around you. Body control's well tied down. Don't get me wrong, it's not a car that you take on track days. It doesn't feel like a car you want to take on track days, but it's just fast. It's just effing quick. Seriously, seriously quick. I mean, I did launch control in it, and, oh man, I got indigestion from it. Yeah. It's terrible. It turned my insides out almost.
So I remember the older ones,
yeah,
pre the hybrid and stuff. I can't remember off the top of my head what the 0-60 times, but it was fast. It's like not significantly less than a 911 turbo.
No. The previous Panamera Turbo S, they were under 4 seconds, 0-60. The one just gone.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
That was
definitely
stupid. Yeah, it was just stupid fast. So it'd be interesting to see what it's like. Obviously, can't really tell too much. I don't want to judge it too much because I haven't really got to know it. But I'll be taking it to South Wales tomorrow. So,
yeah, I think interesting cars.
Oversteer as well, I'll tell you that.
So, other than expensive loan cars,
yeah,
what do you drive day to day?
So day to day, well, it depends. I've got three cars, so I've got. I'm a bit of a Porsche nut, obviously. I've got a Cayman GT4, which I love. And I've got a Golf GTI Club Sport S, which is another one which I love. Kind of bought it because it's like a GT3 front-wheel drive weapon.
Yeah.
And then the car I use most of my time is my Ford Fiesta ST, which I call it my van, because it's just been beat. And I just use it for everything, absolutely everything. I think it's the famous one of my channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen lots of pictures of it on the lock stops.
Yeah, lock stops in the air. There's it's been jumped, which poor car took quite a battering. But yeah, no, it's that's what I use most of the time, but I'm getting rid of it at the end of the year, so time for a change.
Something different.
Yeah.
I have had pretty much zero experience driving front wheel drive cars. My first car was an Audi A1.
Okay.
A3, sorry. That was front-wheel drive, but I wasn't really that into driving, or didn't have an opportunity, I would say, to take it on track or anything, feel it move around.
Mm.
Other than that, I then had a bunch of four-wheel drive stuff.
Okay.
So like S3, RS3, and then I've been rear-wheel drive ever since. So I haven't really experienced hardcore, like front-wheel drive lols.
Yeah, front-wheel drive cars are interesting. I mean, people ask me what's my favourite drivetrain, front-wheel drive, all-wheel drive, rear-wheel drive. Now, I'm not too bothered, you know, it's whatever. And different drivetrains have different sensations. Now, with front-wheel drive cars, you can, you know, people like to make the stereotypes, oh, you can't get the back end out, blah, 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 but sometimes that's not always the case. And on tracks, as I'm sure you've been to loads of track days, you see Clio 182s, the odd, you know, actually just quite a lot of Renault Sport Clios.
Yeah.
They're really cool. I mean, you turn in, I mean, off the throttle, sometimes trailing on the brakes. It's brilliant. I mean, with front-wheel drive cars, you can set it up before you get to the corner, whereas in a rear-wheel drive car, you kind of spin. You use the balance, you know, you sort of use the throttle to go into a corner, whereas in a front-wheel drive car, you sort of have to peel off a little bit you know, judge your exit corners. It depends on track. On the roads, it's sort of the same thing. And it also depends on how much power you have through the front wheels, because, you know, there's only so much front wheels can do before you get torque steer and all,
yeah, exactly,
all that bits and pieces.
It can either be turning or burning, but
yeah,
not both at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, for most rear-wheel drive people, you know, they come out of a rear-wheel drive car into a front-wheel drive car and they just go, oh, shit, don't like it. It's just rubbish. It's like, no, you just got to change your driving style. That's all it is. Same with four-wheel drive cars, you know. It's a slow in, fast out, and then use the traction. Same with front-wheel drive cars. They do have a bit of traction. But, yeah, I love them. I love them.
I'm having my first, say, front-wheel drive experience in a couple of weeks now. A 24-hour Citroën C1 race.
Yeah, yes. You did mention about this, yeah.
Which should be... I'm just interested to see what the hell it's going to be like. I think it's just going to be fun.
I've heard interesting stories about that. I want to do it one day because apparently it's just like a rat race full of Citroën C1s and...
Yeah. I think what the other car... So it's C1s and I think it's two CVs.
Oh, two CVs as well?
Yeah, I think there's 150 cars on track and it's like C1s and two CVs.
Someone said to me about that Citroën C1 race that it's so slow as you go up on Rouge that you just start texting. People just start texting.
Yeah, I think you have to change down.
Yeah,
you definitely have to change down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can...
Probably
you
from
can
second to first.
Yeah, first. Can you imagine that? All the cars, it's go, turn. And then just everybody stops, goes back. Yeah, backwards. Yeah. That's fun. That's going to be interesting. No, you'll have fun around there.
I think it should be interesting. A whole lot of new stuff to deal with, like... Well, racing at night,
yeah,
wet, all that sort of stuff. Done a bit in the wet, but yeah, it should be interesting, really. Do you have a current favourite hot hatch?
Ooh, I do and I don't. Like I said, I'm terrible at deciding what's my favourite car. If someone said to me, "What's your favourite car?" I couldn't tell you what it is. It all depends on mood, I suppose. At the minute, my favourite hot hatch has to be the Golf R. And as boring as it might look, I think it's the best in class. It's the Golf that does everything. But the Golf R, the 7.5, is a riot to drive. And it's a riot up to 7 temps. You've got to unlock it. You really got to grab it by the scruff of the neck and just drive it really hard and fast. I had one a couple of weeks back and I drove it through some country B roads and I was just amazed by the amount of effort and engineering that's gone into the, you know, shock absorbers, spring rates, just the feeling of it going quick down a road. And you can make it misbehave as well too. So to me, that is the car right now. It's well priced. I think it's got an imageless look. I think it's well built. I'd have it. I get a lot of people saying M140 or Golf R, and sorry, Mr. Joe Achilles, Golf R for me, man.
It's a much nicer sort of, I think, car to be in.
Yeah, it's so well accomplished.
But yeah, it does seem dull. Like from a distance,
yeah, you just go to Golf.
But yeah, every time, everyone I know that's driven one, they're awesome.
Yeah, what car do you want more? I mean, what's your favourite one out of the lot? Or you don't really?
I haven't really driven
many hot hatches.
No, not really.
I'll tell you one I want to have a go in is, well, actually, I am going to have a go in soon, is the new Civic Type R.
Ugly.
Yeah, it's hideous.
But meant to be awesome.
It's meant to be a flipping riot to drive. And the new Renault Sport Megane.
Yeah.
That looks really cool.
What else do people talk about? The Hyundai?
i30N.
Yeah.
Actually, I've driven one of those. And that's a really good car. That's a really, really good car. Well priced. Really good. Just, you know, the guy who's in charge of the new N division for Hyundai, he used to do some M cars in the past, like M3 CSLs, V10 M5s. Cool stuff like that. And yeah, it's a cool bit of kit. I think it's great. I mean, 28 grand it is with all the goodies on it. The problem is they depreciate like a stone.
Yeah, they just, people go Hyundai. Like,
and it's a Hyundai, yeah. It's going to suffer that for a little bit.
Good second-hand buy.
Yeah, great second-hand buy. You'll just see that. They'll be the next generation Clio 180s
exactly.
10 years' time. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I was looking back at your recent-ish videos and you did a video with a manual 991.2 GT3.
Yeah.
Which I've wanted to drive for God knows how long.
Yeah, I think everybody's been wanting to drive that for ages.
What do you think?
It's the best car in the world. It's the best car in the world. And I'm not saying that because I'm a Porsche fanatic. I just think if you're into driving, you love cars, there's just something so right about the GT3. And there's just a sense of connection emotionally and physically with the vehicle. I think it's just great. I mean, that 4-litre flat six just sings.
And pulls.
Yeah, it's got torque compared to the 0.1 engine, and they don't catch fire as well, which is a plus point.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's just brilliant. But that manual gearbox, that 6-speed manual, is just a joy. Now, I've driven 997 Gen 2 GT3, so that's sort of the only one I know of it. Obviously, the 0.1 was a PDK, yeah. And I've got a Cayman GT4, which is a 6-speed manual gearbox, so I don't want to compare it, but we'll throw it in, why not?
Yeah.
And the shift in that car is just bang on right. Not too heavy, not too notchy. And when you're driving it at speed, which in the 997 generations, you could potentially miss a gear, or, you know, sometimes the synchros won't let you go, especially second to third. I always found them really difficult. This is just brilliant. You could just, go flat out in it. And, I loved it. We took it to Knockhill Racetrack. Mm. And, it was an interesting one with Porsche. I said, can I have the GT3 for a week? Yeah, sure. We taking it out to Scotland. And, I didn't tell them that till later on. And we shot parts of it in Beachhead, parts of it in Scotland. And we had 40 minutes track time in that GT3. And in the filming world, that's no time at all.
No, it's not.
That's nothing.
It's like two shots.
Yeah, it's just running. Yeah, it's just two shots. So we're running around like headless chickens, getting loads of oversteery shots of it. But the car just had loads of balance. The steering had feel to a degree for an electric steering. But not many cars now.
That's it. Feel. It's kind of like, it's got feel to an extent until you get into something that you like old or whatever that actually has what we remember. Actually. But I didn't think it detracted from the experience.
No.
Didn't necessarily add, but it didn't detract from the overall. You just forget about it and just get on with driving.
I think nowadays I just judge it on waiting. If the waiting's right, and the steering speed's precise, which most steering racks now have, it's very hard to sort of not get that right. Then it's perfect. I loved it. But one thing I really liked about that GT3 was the fact that you could flat shift up changes. Now, not many people know about this, but you can actually flat shift and up changes, and it's also got launch control. And the great thing about it is you don't have to hold your left nipple, press a few, sort
tweak
of buttons.
This warm it up.
Like a little nuclear missile, get someone to get two keys simultaneously and unlock it. It's not like that.
Straightforward. Yeah, how do you do the launch control?
Literally, put your clutch down.
Hold the clutch down.
Yeah, that's it.
And then just let go.
Does it.
Nice.
Does it straight away. Don't have to press anything. You could choose whether you want traction control on or off. That's it.
And what sort of level of... is that like a smoky launch, or is that just a fast launch, or does it depend on the surface?
It's all dependent on surface. I launched it a couple of times, and it's all dependent on surface. Some surfaces really upsets it to the point where you might think you're going to break something, like a drive shaft or something like that. So that's, you've got to be a bit wary about it, but it was pretty neat. And because it's, it's a 911, the engine's at the rear, it's got decent traction.
Tons of grip,
off you go.
Yeah.
The great thing about the flat shift is you get to 9,000 RPM, you just whack the clutch down, grab second, grab third, grab fourth, grab fifth, and it's brilliant. And as long as you keep it out of sport mode, which doesn't give you blips on the downchange, I can heel and toe, I'm sure you can as well too. It's brilliant. It's just perfect.
So sport, I remember on the GT4, sport did nothing other than basically enable the blips.
Yeah, that's it.
That was it. And that was the same on the GT3.
Same on the GT3.
That's good. I I like it being that way around.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind if it was in the menus, you could like turn it on or turn it off.
Yeah.
But just having the sport button, and that's the only thing the sport button does, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, exactly. I can understand it if, you know, why Porsche put it in there, because, you know, there's most owners that can't heel and toe, and the last thing you want to do is drop down a gear change, lock up the rear wheels and spin off, you know? So it's great to have that option. But what I loved was the simplicity of it. It's just, yeah, perfect. I absolutely loved it. I nearly cried when that car went back. But yeah, that is the highlight of my year.
And you don't think, so like a counterpoint, like an older car, or just it's maybe not necessarily too capable for driving in the UK or on normal roads, or obviously track's something different, but
on track it's different. I mean, on the road, yeah, there are some limitations with it, and that's down to the engine. You know, it's great, you want to get it to 9, but every time you get it to 9, you're breaking laws, and that is a bit of the downside about it with that car. You know, you can red light, you know, you can get to 9 in first, grab second, but what you enjoy is the composure of the suspension. The way you could just go down a flow down a B road is just nice. You know, previous GT3s were a bit too hardcore. This one was just flow and plying, and
not too hunty or anything.
Yeah, it's and I think they're saving that for the GT4 RS, and it's perfect that way. So I think that is the sweet spot of the 911 range. I think it's the best 911 they made of the lot.
Hopefully. There was someone up in the north of England who commented on my video with it and said, "I've got one with a Sharkworks exhaust. You can have a go." But it's like in Scotland or something. Like,
for goodness sake!
Oh, it's so far away.
It's a million miles away. it's so far away, which is a bit of a nightmare. But you got to go. You got to go. You drove one as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I've driven the PDK, and it was the first day I drove it was kind of not ideal situation. It's like a bit wet and couldn't really go very fast. And then the second day I basically just had like pornographic roads, no one on them, and the whole thing just like elevated itself up to that point where you're like ear to ear smiling, just having the best time ever. And that then I was like, okay, hang on, this is quite a good car.
Yeah, it's wicked. It is a wicked bit of kit.
But then I got home and drove my RS, and I bloody enjoyed changing gear.
Yeah,
and I enjoyed the more rawness of that car. I think a lot, just because of it's less. The 997 platform is less refined. Now I don't know whether it's necessarily. It's just different, but driving down like a country road, you feel like there's more coming in from the outside.
Yeah, there's more elements of the world coming in, and it's more arse engined.
Yeah,
and I quite like that. You know, you get that. And smaller. Yeah, that's the beauty of the 997. Yeah, it has gotten a bit wider. Everything's getting a bit wide and fat nowadays. Yeah. It's just.
I saw a picture on it was on Facebook in a forum, and someone had posted a picture of like an original sort of 911 and then the current 911, and it was distorted, but it was saying how much bigger those cars are now. And then someone chimed in and was like, "Oh, it's not that much." And they said, "Oh, but it worked out. It was 20 centimeters wider," which, okay, you've got a country lane, and probably that Panamera, you don't have much space to stay in your lane, but let's say you had an extra 20 centimetres and then the other car on the other side also was half the size. You could fit a car down the middle.
Yeah, exactly. It's mental. It is mental. Everything's just getting fat. That's the problem.
And it definitely is noticeable when you go to parts of the UK where you can't see very much on the country road. You know, it's like hedges that are sort of overgrowing.
Yeah.
And you have to be right up against the side every time you go around a corner, and even then you're like
or you're overtaking a cyclist.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a nightmare,
it's just, I guess, the way things are going with safety and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, but we're always going to moan, aren't we?
Going to say, and just take it somewhere where you can drive it, because there's loads of places.
Yeah, there's loads of places.
So I thought we'd move on to some sort of news-ish type things that have happened
okay
recently, give or take. I've seen loads of pictures this week from people at the 600 McLaren 600 LT.
Yes.
That, to me, I reckon is going to be such a mega car.
I think so too. Definitely.
Was it? It's about as, well, it's ish 600 horsepower.
Yeah.
And sort of McLaren horsepower. So it's going to be, have a lot of torque and be fast.
It's low 1200 kilos, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I think that's the no fluids in it.
Okay.
So I looked it up. It was like 1350, which is super light.
Yeah, it's, you know,
600 horsepower. I think that's a similar sort of weight to my. I don't know whether my GT3 is 1350 or like 1430, yeah, something like that. But significantly more horsepower.
When you think of it, a 718 Cayman is like 100 kilos heavier than that.
Yeah,
that's mental. And it's got 600 horsepower.
And carbon, super stiff tub, proper suspension. Like it's going to be a hoot. I think the only problem that I can see with that is the 720S.
Yeah, it's suffering the Cayman problem, isn't it? It's going to sit right below.
I think it's just the only reason that is price-wise. At the moment, you can get a 720S for 210. 20, let's say, yeah, 220, something like that. I think you can. And a list price 600 LT is like 230. So
yeah, it depends how. I mean, depends if it's going to be limited run. Being McLaren, probably.
I think they're making. What was I hear? It was something like they're making 20% of the 5 cent. It was either 20% or 10%, but it's going to be like 1,000 or 2,000 or something of them.
Okay.
Like, there's not going to be tons, but whether people order them, that's the thing. I don't know.
I'm sure that people have put names down already for that car, even when it was launched.
I think it'll be a great, great purchase in like 2 years.
What, when the prices have just sort of.
Price would be like 120 grand.
Yeah. Typical McLaren stuff.
Yeah.
Mind you, have you driven a 570? 570?
I haven't.
Honestly, get behind the wheel of one of them because it's so sweet to drive.
That's what everyone says. Everyone says the 570 is like the one.
Yeah, it's the one. It doesn't have that trick suspension like the 12C and 650S have, but you know, and it doesn't need it. It's just, it's less competent. But it's more sport. It's more of a sports car. Sports car that's effing quick. It's seriously quick.
We was on the Autobahn behind one a year ago, maybe a bit longer, and it did something like 210.
That's mental.
Which is mental. Like, that car is way faster than it should be in terms of like where it's positioned in the range.
Yeah.
Like, I was at Airfield recently, and we had a 720S. And a 570S. And, I mean, it's probably kind of similar like most cars now, really. Up to 100 or something like that. They were the same. Now, at that point, you go, well, what the hell is the point? Unless you live in Germany.
Yeah.
Where you can go, or you're using it on a track or something like that. 100 miles an hour is well over the speed limit.
Yeah,
you can't get there any faster.
Yeah, you can't.
In the more horsepower car.
Yeah, I know. It can get a bit sick, but that's just mental, though.
That's mental. I think it's also because it's a super slippery shape.
Yeah, the aero is pretty, you know, pretty sleek on it. I mean, when I drove it for the first time, I was just in shock. Absolutely in shock. It's the way it gets to 120 to 170. It's just brilliant. And it cuts through the air. So, I mean, I don't know if you've seen videos of drag races. They dragged a race up against a 720S and it was staying with it. It's not, it wasn't even half a car length behind it. It was just mental. But yeah, I think that's a good buy.
Yeah. I don't know what a 570S is.
What? So like, price
like
that?
Price-wise, sort of, it's like, let's say a year-old car or something like that.
I don't know. I think they're
probably... Absolutely no idea.
I think probably 130.
Yeah.
130,
I think they were about 180 new.
Yeah, so I'd say about 130 for one.
There must be something like that.
I feel sorry for the people who bought one new. I had to sell it, but yeah. Yes. But 600 LT in a couple of years' time, that would be the car to buy.
Yeah, definitely. It's the sort of car that starts making me interested in McLaren. It's like, I like the brand... And I like what they're doing with cars. They're not messing around. They're saying, look, we're going to make the fastest, most awesomest stuff. And they're definitely making the fastest stuff. And it looks pretty cool. Like, it all looks pretty wacky and cool. But the 600 LT starts to make me think, oh, now they're starting to make them fun and like interesting to drive as opposed to just super fast and do everything.
Yeah, they're taking away the bit of the clinical side that's been criticised in the past.
Well, they're just like savage handling that some of the earlier ones had.
Oh, yeah. Like 12C stuff, jeez.
I went out in a
TVR yesterday. Ooh, yesterday? Day before. A Tuscan.
Nice.
I was shooting some video for someone and it made me think, well, it's the first time I've been in a TVR. And actually, it's like a proper position, other than the fact that they seem to all kind of fall apart and rattle and
break. Yeah.
The idea of them is quite cool. Like, they're quite light. Got a V8 in the rear wheel drive.
Yeah.
No aids. That's actually quite an interesting proposition. And I saw the new TVR, which has no links to the old TVRs at all, does it actually?
No, it doesn't share anything. It's all
I think it's just the name.
Yeah.
I saw that at Silverstone Classic 3-4 months ago, which I guess is bringing back the idea of bringing back that sort of simple paired back design, relatively light V8. Although I feel like the V8 they've picked is quite a mundane V8, but what they've done with
it,
I don't
Mustang,
know.
Isn't it?
Yeah, but like a pretty normal Mustang, I think.
Yeah, but I think Cosworth played with it as well. So Cosworth, Cosworth tuned engine. So yeah,
it's so it could be. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you play the videos, it doesn't sound anything like the.
No, it sounded pretty good.
Like the Coyote.
My only thing, the looks wise, it almost. I felt like they could have gone a bit more. Have you seen the pictures of it? Do you know what it looks
like?
Yeah,
I've seen it in the flesh. Yeah, okay, yeah. So
it's like a decent looking car, but at the moment it doesn't stand out. And I don't know whether they've just left space for a more aggressive model.
Yeah, it's an interest. I mean, I'm not too keen on the front, personally. The rear's there. Rear three quarters of it's brilliant. Interior's nice as well. But the front lets it down. It doesn't really say TVR. It
doesn't really say much.
It doesn't say much at all. And when you compare it to something, I mean, because it's they've gone down the sort of design of the T350, so you know the sort of short wheelbase version of the Tuscan, and that was a pretty little car, beautiful little thing. You know, it had a really nice face and it had a really nice short rear. But yeah, the new one, I do agree with you, it doesn't look that great. And another thing is, where are the cars? You know, they've been showing it on shows for the for the last flipping year. People have put deposits on them for the last 3 years. I want to see the cars, man.
That's a good question. Yeah. I feel like, and I don't necessarily feel like they're arriving yet.
No. You reckon it could be one of those con artists?
I think TBR. They will happen.
Yeah, no.
But it's weird. I think brands. Some brand, it seems to happen quite a lot with some brands at the moment where they'll release a car or they'll talk about a car and then like 4 years later people haven't taken delivery yet, or like five. I understand if you know you make 10 a year and so your orders take 2 years or whatever. Don't show me a pretty much finished car and then tell me it's going to be 5 years before you get it, because like what's the point? You're going to have forgotten about it by then.
It's not even that. There's not been any press launches, you know. No one's driven it. It's like, what's going on, guys? I'm sure it must be a struggle for them, because obviously they don't have the production line of most other sports or supercar manufacturers.
I wonder how many deposits. I bet they've probably got quite a lot of deposits.
They've got loads. They've got tons. They've got in excess of thousands of deposits. And I think they're pretty hefty deposits to get the thing running.
Because it was priced at about 80, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think it's over 500 horsepower as well.
Which
sounds about right.
Yeah, again, sounds like a great second-hand
bargain. Yes. Second-hand bargain.
But it sounds a bargain at 80 if it is 500 horsepower, pretty lightweight. I think it's got that... has Gordon Murray done some of the design on that car?
Yeah,
He's come up with a new way of constructing chassis and stuff.
Yeah, he's come up with some new... Bond chassis, it's Gordon Murray.
Yeah, it's like super lightweight.
That bit will work of the car.
That's an interesting
of it we don't know.
part. I was looking at, I don't know whether you've come across, he's building an old Ford Escort.
Okay.
And he's having having it customised a bit, but a shop somewhere. You'll find it on YouTube if you have a look around. He's just basically taking an old Cosworth and then having it properly restored but modified a bit, like sort of Gordon Murray'd a little bit. It's quite a nice series of videos.
It's nice to see him doing
but
stuff.
Because he was still like, he now has that company Gordon Murray Designs, or which is also a manufacturer, I think.
They're
planning on basically making, I think, these chassis I think for people out of, I think he's calling it iStream, and the idea, like, they're launching a car
And I think with the idea of then all the other brands going, oh, that's great tech, we want to buy that. And then he may not make very many of his car, but he was trying to make something that's under 900 kilos and a couple of hundred horsepower or something. I can't imagine a new car that's under, even under a ton is tough.
I mean, you got the Alpine A110.
Yeah, but what does that weigh?
That's just over 900 kilos, that.
Is it? On the road?
Yeah. Wet.
Like weighed?
Yeah, weighed and everything. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's mental, that. You know? I could be wrong. No, it could be a bit more.
I think it's
more. 1,000. I think it's 1,000, but still.
There was a... I think it was an Autocar video recently, and they... With the Alpine. And I think it came in at, like, 1,040 kilos or something. And they... That was what they weighed it at, and they've also weighed a 718 Cayman, which said it was going to be like 1,300 or something, which came in at 14-something.
1,440, I did see.
Yeah. So that's 400 kilos difference. That's no laughing matter.
No. That's another forklift in weight.
Yeah. Like, if you think a normal car feels... That's the best representation, I think, of what extra weight feels like, is when you put three mates in a car.
Yeah.
That's not
in
got
a really small car.
Even any car, actually.
Yeah.
You suddenly go, whoa, what happened to that performance?
Yeah, exactly. It feels crap.
Yeah, it doesn't brake, doesn't corner. Yeah. You're like, oh yeah, this is the same for everything.
Yeah, everything else.
Another new car that we're sort of starting to see is the new Z4. And also the new Supra.
Yes, this joint Toyota BMW
venture.
Yeah, venture.
I was having a look at some of the Z4 pictures today, and it's quite.
Do you like it?
It's all right. I'm not sure.
It's the same. I'm a bit confused. I love the Z4. I've been a fan of not the previous shape, the one before it.
Yeah.
I just thought it had a hint of Z8, and in the used car market, it's like a Z4M.
Yeah,
like to me, that looks cool.
Yeah,
you can drive around pretending it's a Z8. It's not, but you know. but they're cool. They've always been handsome looking cars, and the one previous to it was also handsome looking. When it did first arrive, I think it shocked everyone just by how capable it was, and how it always took the sort of, you know, flame to the Porsche Boxster.
And it was quite a sort of accomplished car for the money.
Yeah,
like, hard top. The last one, anyway.
Yeah.
You should get... I remember I tried to buy... Or not even... I didn't want to buy it, but I wanted to test drive with a view to buying. This is when I was getting before I got my Boxster. The Z4, and it had a really long name, but it was the 35IS.
Yeah.
And I walked into a dealership, and I'm pretty sure they just were like, no, you're not buying one, so we're not going to let you drive one. They said they just didn't have any, which may or may not have been true. Mm. I don't know. I feel like there must have been one somewhere. Yeah. So I never got to drive one. But Tim had a Z4 for a bit.
Yeah, he did.
Which I spent some time in. And they're just sort of good cars.
They're cool. They're really cool. The 35IS, they had the twin clutch gearbox in them as well, which is different because, you know...
I think that was quite a loony car.
Yeah, that was, you know, that was pretty wild, that thing. And it's quite rare. I mean, I do this thing on Auto Trader where I just look for rare stuff. I was looking for Renault Avantimes this morning, seeing if I could find a cheap Avantime. And I did look at a 35IS like months back, and I couldn't find one.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't think
there's many.
The impression I got was they really, really were not, and just no one ordered them.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
They were expensive.
They were expensive, and at the time,
like, why would you not just get a Boxster?
Yeah, exactly. It was north of 50 grand, which, you know, back in 09, 010,
yeah,
silly money, crazy money, you know, all the time. But why didn't you buy 1M?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Then I bought a Boxster and then went back.
It's a good car, Boxster.
Oh, it was great.
What was yours, S?
It was an S, yeah. A 981 S manual.
Manual.
I found it the other day on Autotrader.
Again?
Same car. It was pretty much exactly the same price as I sold it for, like, 5 years ago.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
That's like, mental.
But somehow I could... somehow I could have kept that car and driven it and then not. But then since then I've owned my GT3 RS and that's just a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, that's a different world of car, man.
Have you seen the Futurista? It's this guy on Instagram, Automobili Amos.
Okay.
He has the green F40.
Yes.
That guy. He's done a Lancia Delta Integrale, but like kind of singered it.
Okay.
And it is a mad looking thing. Hold up, I'll get a photo up.
I love Delta Integrales. I think they're wicked.
That was it. It's like that old sort of, if I think of cars, they weren't really around. I can't think of them being around, but they're just iconic, cool rally cars. They just look cool.
It's just, when you think of rallying, I think that's ironically, especially of the 80s era, not the 2000s, because obviously that's Subarus and Evos, but it is the Integrale.
It is, and it's basically, here we go. So obviously he's done in green because he likes green, but it's basically a normal Integrale, but everything's just been done. I think it's quite difficult to sort of tell, but
it's
carbon and...
Oh, that's,
I think, nice. Everything's just done really nicely inside. And his view was...
Has that a rocket button?
Yeah. And it makes some weird noises and stuff when you press it. Like some hilarious stuff.
That's brilliant.
But it was interesting because I think his point was, nowadays, all the major manufacturers are coming out with these 1.5-2 million pound cars that, you know, like, so what?
Yeah.
They're so fast and so crazy and getting them is a pain in the arse.
It's willy wagging, isn't it?
Yeah,
really?
Exactly. And most of them will be driven around. Yeah, fair play. But just driven around a city,
yeah,
being like, okay, look at my million-pound car.
Yeah.
But he was like, the Lancia Delta to him was the car that kind of got him into cars. And he's like, well, I'm going to make a couple of them, 20 or something. I think they're 300,000 euros, so not cheap, but not 5 million euros.
No.
And it's an iconic car that he's bringing back, and I think the more that people do that sort of stuff, the better. And you're definitely seeing it.
Yeah, it's ever so growing. You know, Singer sort of is the first one to really kick it off, and they've made a great success off the back of it. And seeing that, I mean, that just looks stunning. That is beautiful.
Yeah,
I'll buy it just because of the rocket button, man.
Yeah,
just want to press it.
That's it. It's like having cars that don't take themselves too seriously.
Yeah, you need a bit of sense of humour.
They're like, what's that? It's my rocket button. Oh,
it's
okay.
My rocket button. Cool. What does it do? Don't touch it. Don't touch that button. Yeah. Literally. You will die. That is cool. That the world needs more sort of in-house, not coach build, because obviously that's, you know, that's
yeah,
school, but just sort of like Singer, like...
Stuff that's different.
Yeah.
Like I was talking to someone the other day, and we were talking about the Singer DLS.
Yeah.
The lightweight one. And I was trying to wrap my head around, if I walked down the street and one was parked on the side of the road, I would lose my shit.
Yeah.
I think I would genuinely just be like, whoa. If you park a Chiron or whatever...
No.
Other than the fact, I think partly because the Singer is just... it just looks like it's just such a cool car.
It does. It's just stunning.
But also, there's only going to be like five of them.
Well, the one they launched, Goodwood.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that was just beautiful. You know, you could just sit there and just stare at it.
The interior. I think that's the bit that got me.
The interior is just amazing. Everything about it's amazing. And it's been properly developed, engineered with properly good drivers, you know, that's been testing it.
And drivers that you hear about people testing stuff and you're like, oh, so-and-so, and you're like, okay, I don't know anything about these people. And then you hear about the people they've used for that car, which I think they've picked that Chris Harris and Mario Franchitti and some people like that you've heard of and you've seen. So we have an idea of what they like and what they and how they drive.
And what they want from a 911.
And what they might want from a 911. So then immediately you think, well, if they've had some input on this and pushed towards, it's going to be better.
Yeah, of course it's going to be better. And I think with that, people, a lot of people argued about the price of it. I think it's worth every single penny.
And I think I don't think they'll have a problem selling them.
No,
I think they've probably sold them all.
Yeah, they've sold all of them, I bet. And I like the fact that they're not. I hope they don't go down into the whole manufacturing route. You know, just making loads of one-offs. Not that it'd be a bad thing.
Yeah, but I think something. I would love them. I'd love to be able to buy that car for like $250,000.
Oh, yeah.
Or a version of that car that's pretty similar.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not quite to the nth degree, but because whatever it is now, it's like $1.8 million.
Yeah. It's before taxes as well.
Like, whoa. So
it's a $2 million quid car, yeah.
That's a very expensive car. It's cool, but $2 million. Yeah. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, but I'm sure it's going to be cool. I just can't wait for people to do video. Who's going to review it?
Well, surely Chris Harris is going to do a video.
Do you know, well...
Maybe not.
Don't see any of his videos anymore.
He doesn't have a platform,
have a platform. It's the website, Top Gear website.
Yeah.
But, you know, no YouTube. That's another thing, isn't it? Top Gear. Where's that gone?
What's happened?
I don't know.
Where's it gone?
I don't know. I don't know where it's gone. It was there. Have you watched the previous series?
I watched all of the last series. I thought it was good.
I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I think there was a good connection between Matt and Chris.
Yeah.
And Rory, I could see what they were doing with Rory. I felt like Rory was in the corner, though.
He seemed to get done over.
Yeah, he does.
They're like, we're going to do our thing and get involved and build this relationship, and you just review some other stuff.
Yeah, Rory, if you're hearing this, sorry, man. But, you know, but that's what it feels like. And I don't think that's a personal thing. I think that's, you know, I'm sure it's down to the directors and producers. You know, I don't think those three have the inputs quite like what Clarks and Hammond and May did, because those boys, they wrote.
Yeah,
they had control over it. Whereas these guys are just presenters. They get told what to do, do it.
Come in, do a job.
Do a job. Go on.
Have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But and I think that's... It's definitely changed how you see some people. Like Chris Harris.
Mm.
I thought his YouTube videos, pre-BBC type stuff, the best.
Yeah, yeah.
They were just the best. And it was because... It's not like what he said or whatever. It's just because you knew that he absolutely loved what he was doing.
Yeah.
And you see that every now and then in some stuff, but as soon as someone starts to, and it must be super difficult because you're working with these massive productions and you say, well, this is what I normally do. And they're like, yeah, but we want you to say X, Y, Z.
Hmm.
And you have to say X, Y, Z. And if, as soon as you have to say what someone else wants you to say, it's not the same. And the audience can tell. And it's a bit crappy.
It's hard to get a vibe across, and like you said, and you can sense that change with Chris from YouTube to TV, and you can sense there's a different sort of attitude, which you think that's not quite him.
Yeah,
and I've heard that from a few other people.
But there's been snippets of it. You've seen, like, I guess over time, the more they build their relationship with the show and each other and whatever, and they start suggesting ideas, like him getting his 2CV out.
That was fun.
That was just funny. That was so just fun, like a funny,
that was a good,
lighthearted, good bit of entertainment.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's it.
That's great. And then they're looking for someone to report. Now Matt's, you know, saying he's left.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's it. You know, they now have to look for another presenter. So, you know, it's what, 3 seasons in of the new one, and
they're already
changing. Yeah.
2019.
No, not me. I'm too much of a hooligan, man. That's the problem.
But that's fine.
Yeah, that could be fine. Yeah,
it's Top Gear. They'll shut everything down.
Yeah, they'll shut all. Yeah. That's a good shout. Yeah, that way. But I'm done. Oh, Fifth Gear's coming back as well. Well, it is back.
Yeah, so I have on my phone some notifications from like various TV shows, and it said Fifth Gear was back. And I was like, oh, yeah. Really? I didn't know where. I need to find
it's
it.
It's on Quest.
It. Okay.
So it's on Quest Thursdays at 8.
Right. I'll try and check it out.
It's the gang back. Plato, Vicky Butler-Henderson, Mr. Tiff Nidell, and Johnny Smith. But they've also got a couple of other guests, like other presenters. They've got Ronnie O'Sullivan on there, the snooker player.
Okay.
Presenting cars. But he's actually really big into his cars. And they've got the F1 driver, Karun Chandok. Or was it Kanjok? I don't know. I can't remember.
It's a big list of people.
Yeah. So there's about six in total. So there's quite a few people. So watch it. Have a look.
I'll definitely check it out because, I mean, I love car programs, so.
Yeah, no. There's so many to choose from.
And Fifth Gear was always really short.
Yeah, Fifth Gear used to be like a half an hour, 20-minute program on Channel 5.
Yeah, because it was half an hour with an ad break.
Yeah.
And they always had some stupid question before the ad break. And
yeah. Then, you can win this car.
Yeah.
Next. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Question, yeah. But good old days.
Right, I have some random questions.
Go on.
That I wanted to ask you.
No worries.
Do you have a most memorable driving trip, journey, stint, segment, like, that stands out as like, oof, that was the best so far?
I don't know if I can say it because I might get arrested. No, I do have one. Funny enough, I don't want to ramble on, it was the GT3. And we shot the second night of our 4-day shoot. We shot in Beachhead. And it's not really an easy route to get to Eastbourne. It's a load of A roads. It's not really a direct motorway. So you have to cut through sort of, you know, Kent and go your way through. And we were sort of on a tight schedule because we knew, you know, we had a few more bits to film and we had to go up to Scotland sort of the next day. So I drove back on these B roads in this GT3 and it was 7:30 at night. We had about 3 hours and it was just some of the best bits of driving, you know, I've done. The road was clear. It was part of the lovely summer we had as well, so the proper heat waves. It was also the longest night of the year as well. So we had that, had London Grammar playing and a bit of night call, driving through the night. Videographer and friend Thomas Garner, who's the one that makes me look good on cameras, shitting it in the passenger seat, just going, slow down. And just driving all the way back, kind of can't believing that I'm in a car that I've been rambling about for so many months. And, well, actually over a year. And did that. I think another drive I did, which I thought was the best, was me and a friend of mine, Roger Chan, R Chan Photography. We went to Goodwood and it was the 2016 Cars and Coffee. And I was in a Panamera diesel and, you know, the roads around Goodwood, it's really good. Especially early hours in the morning as well. And I'm following this Gen 1 991 GT3 RS and I'm in a Panamera diesel, 300 horsepower. And I was just trying my absolute best to keep up with him. And it was, that was a good drive for me. That was probably the most memorable. Two most memorable drives were in Porsches.
In Porsches, Joe, who's had on the last podcast, his favourite drive was in like Croatia or somewhere.
Yeah.
With, on their Fuel Faction.
Fuel Faction trip.
With Ben in a GT4.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast actually, so he loves GT4s, doesn't he?
He does.
But I keep saying to him, you need to drive GT3, because it's another world.
That's it.
Yeah.
When I had them both at the same time, swapping from one to the other, one GT4, significantly more modern, significantly more polished, but you just don't have that engine.
No, you don't. You don't. It and I noticed that more when the GT3 went, you know, even from throttle response.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that the GT4 lacks throttle response. It just doesn't have that motorsport pedigree.
It's just different. And it's just different.
Sorry, listeners. We're going on about Porsches all the time. It's just crazy. You know, I love the noise change at about 3.5 when them valves open.
Yeah.
You sort of just drive
cams
off. And
it,
off
everything.
Cams change everything. It's just like, whoa. we're going off topic a little bit.
Right, next question. 5-car garage.
Ooh.
Go. Unlimited value.
Unlimited value.
So you can take that or however way you want.
Oh. Rolls Royce Phantom Coupe.
Okay.
Because.
Are you going to put it into like a certain slot or just 5 cars?
Just part of the 5 cars.
Yeah.
So Rolls Royce Phantom Coupe because it's just. It's a kind of F you, I got a load of money. But there's something, but unlike other posh coupes, there's just something quite, I think people respond you nicely in a Phantom coupe, and I think it's a cool thing.
It's quite cool.
It's really cool.
And just like plush.
Yeah, so plush. Really good. Surprisingly agile to drive. But that's not the case. It's just really cool. So that, so Rolls-Royce Phantom coupe. I change my mind every sort of hour. So I can't really put a mind on it. At the minute, I've got a terrible obsession with Aston Martin DBSs. I think we spoke about this on the phone. Love a DBS.
Like a new one or
previous one? Superleggera looks
manual.
Cool. Yeah, manual. It's got to be a manual. DBS manual. Quantum Silver from Quantum of Solace. Perfect. That's just maybe the door ripped off with it as well.
For a long time, I've had a want for a V12 Aston Martin manual car.
Oh, it's brilliant, isn't it? I'll tell you what, the V12 Vantages are not bad money now.
Yeah.
I don't know if you looked online, but you can get one for 80 grand and you just.
Yeah. I had someone recently talking to someone who has a lot of cars and a lot of legit stuff. Daily drives a 288 GTO at the moment.
Oh my God.
Wow. And he had bought a manual V12 Vantage S recently.
That's the dogleg 7-speed.
And was like, it's just a hooligan. Like, it's a massive engine that shouldn't be in a small car, and it's a proper muscle car.
Yeah.
And it's great. And you're like, I bet it is.
It's, and it's still good looking, isn't it?
Looks good, sounds phenomenal.
Yeah. That era of Aston Martin, the style, they've got it perfect. Not too sure about the new DBS.
I think I don't know. I think it's very difficult, I found, with cars. When they come out, you're like, what have you done? And then like 4 years later, you're like, it's quite nice.
Yeah, it's quite nice. I actually quite like it. I know.
Like 720S to me is getting better looking over time.
Yeah.
I still don't like the lights, but it's getting better looking.
It's the rear for me.
And the rear is cool.
Money shot. Yeah, rear.
Rear three-quarter, rear, the doors, all of it, you just know it's just a really good car.
The best way I can describe it, it's just alien in a good way. It's just spaceship, which I quite like. And it's different.
One of those drives fast, you're like, whoa, what the hell is that?
Yeah, it's proper, especially at speed. So yeah, that's for me. That
so you've got
third,
two.
Yeah. So that's third one.
Have you one of these your daily, or have you got a daily sort of car?
Oh, daily. Forgot about that.
I'd say it's got to fit into your current sort of lifestyle. All of the cars have got to, not as in like it would have to do the things that you do.
Yeah. Those two would do what I do. Okay. So the next couple would be pretty interesting. I'd definitely 110% would have an Alphaholics GTA.
Oh yes,
love that.
Yes,
love Alphaholics GTA. I love what they do. I keep ringing them every bloody week to say, come on, let me have a car, and they go, we haven't got one line about. Probably watch my videos and go, nope, not giving that to him. I love them. They're just beautiful.
They're
noise.
Really cool.
Yeah. Again, the heart and soul that's gone into making it. It's just pretty, isn't it?
So there's two cars. So obviously I love Singers, and I have my old 911, and the other car of older stuff that I'm like, I'd really just want to have a go in or own or whatever is an Alphaholics.
Yeah, to me I think that's the car to own for me. Yeah, that's brilliant.
Potentially they're a bit old in the sense of you've got no aircon or anything like that.
Who cares?
You can probably put it in.
Who cares? It's an AE.
You say that when you're driving in, let's say you did a European road trip and it was 40 degrees outside.
Yeah, that's very true. Or the commute coming into here to see you in London. Yeah, that would be a bit of a nightmare. But
you can, okay, you can retrofit that and they're still cool as hell.
Yeah, it's still cool as hell, but it's just something, there's some really, really cool about it. So that, for me, is gorgeous. The next one, it's got to be a new Singer.
Yeah.
The new Singer DLS. It's just, sick. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Just them two. That's the perfect two-car garage.
Mm.
That's it. Alphaholics GTA and a Singer.
There you go. You've got one refined.
Yeah.
Sort of. And one not so
refined. Yeah, one not so refined. Yeah. Might go wrong. We don't know.
Yeah.
And the last car. Oof.
So which one of these are you daily driving?
That's a very good question. I'd daily drive the Phantom.
Yeah, and you could. 100%.
Yeah, 110%. Can.
Put your luggage in it?
Yeah. Go shopping. I'll go Costco in it.
Yeah.
It's a Phantom.
Big boot.
Dad had a Phantom. He went Costco in it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
the one. It's the one, actually. If you were to daily drive it, like, your life would just be, it'd just be so great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if you had a stressful day at work, you're just getting it, everything's fine. You've got starlight. Yeah, you've
got stars.
Refining. Yeah, you got stars. It's brilliant. It's daylight outside, you got stars in there, who cares?
You've exactly.
You've got the spirit of ecstasy. You just chill. Just chill. Put on some tunes. Just, yeah, relax. That's yeah. It. That's.
I need to have spend some time in some Rolls Royces. They just seem like they're just really nice.
They're just beautiful. It's just something that you know, it's another cliche thing to say, but when people say there's nothing quite like a Rolls Royce, it's so true. There's just nothing else quite like it. There's loads of other manufacturers that will try and copy it, but there's just something.
I'd love it if they made a smaller car, but it wouldn't be a Rolls Royce. It's not a small car.
I know, it's a bit of a barge, but still, you know, you can thread that about.
No, I just mean, like, I like the idea of something that's like my M2 sized, that is as comfy and as great in that sense as a Rolls Royce. They'd just be so great.
An M2 size Rolls Royce. I could imagine. Mind you, they made the Cullinan, so yeah. I'm sure they can make.
They can go the other way. I mean, probably no one will buy it, but for cruising around a city, you don't want a big car.
A bit like what Aston Martin did with the Signet.
Exactly.
A bit like that.
Exactly. Oh, go crazy.
People bought them just to get on the.
Did you see Salamandrin did what he did to his Raptor?
No.
So he had a Ford Raptor. And he's basically made the insides like a Rolls Royce.
Has he?
Yeah. Oh, like, mate, what a legend. I just saw some stuff on it today, and he's put like stars on the roof, mate, and hilarious stuff like that.
I love Solomon. I think he's just out of this world. So yeah, 4 car garage daily.
That's 5.
Oh, is that 5?
No, we've done four.
Phantom, DBS, Alphaholics, Singer.
Yeah, okay, so you've got one more
daily
slot.
Daily Phantom, we've got one more slot.
So I'd say things that people you might put in there are. Like some sort of track car, or you could drive any of those on track, but like it could be a race car or something.
Yeah, something
hard. Or an SUV or something like that, or I don't know.
Phantom's kind of SUV-ish already. Well, it's not, but you know what I mean. You want something a bit more hardcore, because DBS is not really a track car. That's a car you
just cruise around
it. Just cruise around it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, it's a hard one. Yeah, I'm probably being humble here, but you know, I'd have a GT2 RS current shape. That's just mental. Have you seen the Evo video they did on it?
I don't know.
So Evo's come back miraculously with a video with Mr.
C. Recently?
Yeah, recently. It was a couple of days ago.
I don't think I've seen it.
It's doing really well, that video. It's brilliant. So it's got the Merc AMG GTR.
Oh, yes, GT. I was going to watch it, and I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, mate, it's amazing. It's amazing. I won't kill it for you then, but it's really, really good. Yeah.
Maybe I did watch it. I think I like half watched it.
Was he half asleep watching
it? I was sort of like half asleep watching it, and it was the fastest-ish.
Yeah, it beat the Ford GT, but in all fairness with the Ford GT, it wasn't that quick. Although I would have a Ford GT though.
They're very cool. They're like Ford GT cars, like you're saying with the McLaren, like they are completely alien.
Yeah. It's just
2RS looks a bit pumped up and a bit sort of over the top almost.
I'll take that back. Ford GT. There we go. Done.
It'll be
completely different next week. But yeah, that'll be it. So
that's right. On this day, those are the cars.
On this day.
Cool.
Ask me next week. It'll be all
right. Follow up. Similar sort of question, but not. If you could drive one car for the rest of your life, and the caveat I gave Joe was you're allowed to have like a £500 estate for if you've got some family shit or whatever that you need to do. But the car, otherwise, you've got one car.
The one car for the rest of my life. It's coming back to that dream 4 car garage. It's got to be. I'm sounding boring. It's got to be the Singer. It's got to be.
It's got to be. Yeah, you can have back seats.
You can have back seats. You can still use it.
Yeah.
You've got little toddlers. I mean, when they grow up, that's a bit of a struggle.
Yeah, they get their own car.
Yeah, well, yeah. Get the bus. Yeah, yeah, give them a skateboard. There you go. Off to
exactly.
School. Yeah, so make them wear high-vis. But, yeah, no, that to me is just the pinnacle. It's just it's just such a humble-looking vehicle. It doesn't it doesn't have an image problem.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
It's that Porsche image is not a bad one, I don't think.
No, so I was speaking to a friend about this with Porsche Image. Now, years ago, it was you were a banker or an investor and you were a bit of a twat. Like, I'm talking about the image of 996 owners, 996 Carrera 4 Tiptronic Cabrio owners. I'm going
to push buttons.
Yeah, push buttons, that's it, those fuckers. And I don't think that exists anymore. I think it's when I see a Porsche owner, I just go, you're clearly a person with
logic. He has a good taste in cars.
Yeah, he's got a good taste in cars. I see someone in a KN diesel, I go, clearly you're a man who likes a sporty vehicle, but you've got a dog, some kids,
yeah,
but you still want to go on track days. So I don't know. I think but I don't think the car has an image problem. To most people, it can be a bit dull.
Yeah.
And it can be a bit repetitive in the sense of it's just winning car magazines all the time.
I know. You do see that. But I think there's something that those, let's say the GT cars have done. They're still naturally aspirated so far, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
And will continue to be so.
There's hope.
Which, when you're putting cars back to back, doesn't matter how fast something is.
No.
Naturally aspirated, the noise just wins.
The noise, power,
the experience just wins.
That's all it is.
And then they do the rest of it so well. There aren't. The year the Speciale came out?
Yeah.
Wasn't it like a. I don't think there was even necessarily a GT3 in that battle.
There was. There was a video.
I don't know which one won.
So Fifth Gear did a video of the track battle between GT3 and 458 Speciale.
Yeah.
And I think the Speciale came out on top. They took it around Castle King. Funny enough, yeah. Paris was in that video. It was a really good dogfight. And then I think it won in Evo Car of the Year as well.
Yeah.
But it wasn't fair on the GT3.
It's not really a fair comparison.
And it was double the money as well.
Yeah, literally double the money. Double and the it's money. Not even the... I wouldn't necessarily say you put a GT2 RS against a Speciale, but they're price-wise, they're the same.
Yeah.
It's now against whatever, the Pista. That's kind of like a... But it's just a different... A GT3 is 120-something grand new. Especially, it's like 250,
yeah,
240, something like that.
You're double the money,
or Pista's 260 or something.
Yeah, and if you look at it beyond retail value, it's even more. So yeah, no,
but when you get in those cars, let's say you get in the Ferrari, the interior, you feel like you're in a much more expensive car.
Yeah,
it's like carbon and stuff everywhere.
Yeah, it's just nice. The exposed metal, the pedals.
Yeah, the buttons come off and things like that.
Yeah, like that. You hit a bumpy road and you go, oh, the circle's not quite in the place where it should be. But that's part of the Ferrari thing. You want that sometimes. You don't want stuff to be perfect.
Sometimes. In your alcoholics. Yeah,
in your alcoholics. But and it's a pretty looking thing as well. I think it looks gorgeous.
Especially it's an awesome looking thing.
Yeah, they are crazy.
And they sound good.
And hooligan.
Yeah, absolute hooligan of the car.
They just love being slidded.
Yeah, very. It's like the opposite of the Porsche.
Yeah. The Porsche is very...
It's just grip.
Although I slide them about. Yeah, it's not really like doing it.
But you've got to be committed.
Yeah, you've got to be on it.
Whereas any sort of mid-engine Ferrari, you just breathe on the throttle and like... Whoo!
Yeah, especially with current Ferrari's quick steering. Yeah. It's very easy to catch.
Yeah, change like four lanes by just moving your hand. Yeah. Like one
you sneeze, off you go.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. What would you say is the best value car for under... Or best value car... It's going to be the same answer, isn't it? Best value car full stop at the moment. Pound for pound.
Pound for pound, best value car. Oof. What?
I would say
on sale? On sale or used?
Let's say on sale. That's a really difficult question. But I'm going to... Yeah, why not? You can answer it. I'm not answering
Best pound for pound car on sale. Ooh. I'd probably say the... There's a few. I'd go in the hatchback group. I would say the i30N. Hyundai. I think that's a really cool car, brand new. You know, 28 grand. It undercut... 27 and a bit. It undercuts... everything.
Yeah,
and it's definitely a really good contender for a driver's car. Another car I'd probably say is the Alfa Romeo Giulia Quadrifoglio.
Yeah,
you know, 60, okay, you can spec them to silly money, but if you all you need in that car is
they come with
everything anyway. I think 60 grand, you've got yourself a weapon there.
Beast engine.
Oh, it's fast as hell. Have you driven one?
No.
Oh, mate, so fast. You got yourself a Ferrari for 60 grand.
Yeah.
There you go.
And complete and, with Ferrari electronics.
Yeah, there you go. Brilliant. So you have a bit of fun with that. They do go around with those quadrophonies. I've heard stories.
I've heard a lot of stories, but never I mind. Think they'll work that out. Like, if you've got a warranty,
yeah,
and as long as they don't go wrong too often,
it's not like engines are blowing up. They're just going into limp mode. A friend of mine was doing a video, and one did go into limp mode, and Alfa Romeo had to pick it up and take it back. But it's not like you leave it and, you know, and come back to it in the morning and half of it's rusted away.
Yeah,
it's not that kind of problem. So actually, in fact, the i30 N's great in hot hatch segment, but I think overall the Quadrifoglio pound for pound is a really good car, because
they're cool.
They look amazing.
You don't see that many of them around.
You don't see that many around because people are frightened.
Yeah.
People are just thinking, oh no,
500 horsepower,
great handling, great powertrain. So yeah, that's the car for me.
Cool,
love it.
What is I think we're pretty much getting to the end of my random questions now.
That's fine.
Most undervalued car, I guess that's the same.
We're going to say the same thing again, aren't we?
Yeah.
The most undervalued car. Let's try and say something that isn't a Porsche. All Porsches are all undervalued, I think.
Yeah,
especially
definitely GT cars.
Yeah, GT cars. I love how we just said the same. Yeah, sorry listeners. I think it's definitely undervalued. Also, I think the new M2 competition
under
I don't know.
I've
spoken to a few journos.
Similar price to your Giulia Quadrifoglio.
Yeah, but it's a different bracket again. Yeah, it's a different bracket. Maybe that's more. I don't know.
I might need to drive that correctly.
What, that M2?
Yeah,
50 odd grand. You reckon?
Yeah.
I was expecting me 60 odd grand, but.
I reckon you could easily spec one to 60.
Mm.
And that's a £60,000 2 Series.
Yeah,
like it will be an awesome car.
Yeah,
and like I love my M2, but the things that I wish, it's still a 2 Series when you look at the basic stuff in the car,
yeah,
like the systems and whatever, the stereo and the whatever, how the audio and everything. It is a 2 Series, but it drives a lot better and it looks a lot cooler.
Yeah, no, that's
like it. If it was an M3 or M4 brought down to shrunk a bit with the same stuff in it.
At 55 grand.
At 55, yeah, it'd be mega.
Yeah, no, but come to think of it, yeah, I am with you on the sense, but I don't know, I just thought, you know, with the powertrain in it, with the suspension as well, because there's a lot of changes to that car. It's not just an M2 with an M3 engine just swapped into it. You know, there's different dampers, etc. But again, I suppose that's not really a car to judge it, because not many people have driven it. The market, we don't know what the market's going to be.
No, no idea. I reckon, like them, even M2s now, be a great purchase in a year, 2 years' time.
Yeah, great, great purchase.
Because they'll make quite a few.
Yeah, they will. They will. I think some McLarens are. Some McLarens are undervalued.
Yeah.
540s are very
540C, I don't know what they were. New. I don't know what they are.
I think new
140.
Yeah, I think it's 140. And which, to me, you're
it's
getting
the same. It's the same as a 570. Like, I mean, I'm sure it's not, but it kind of is.
Holy crap! It's light years. You'd be buying a time machine for that money. You know?
Yeah,
that's mental. And even you put it up against a Turbo S. Turbo S wouldn't seem where that's gone in a drag race. Probably down a B road as well on a dry day. Again, 540 comes out on top. I think that's a lot. I mean, you're buying a car that looks way more expensive than what the price suggests.
Yeah.
You think McLaren.
And the interior, yeah. McLaren, expensive
carbon
brand.
Tub, yeah.
Yeah.
140
carbon
grand.
Tub.
And you think, shit, that's a cool car. I think that's probably one of the most undervalued cars.
And as time goes on, will remain so.
Yeah, as always.
I wonder what a time they will stop. Because I think 12Cs, I don't know what 12C is. I bet trade they're under 100. They must be.
Oh, they're in the 80s.
Like 80 or something.
Yeah, they're in the 80s.
Now, like that, okay, I wouldn't want to own a 12C out of warranty, because I've seen some of the warranty work that's happened to those cars.
Yeah.
But they've got better as the time has evolved, so 650S or whatever. Like, how on earth is a 650S, for example, ever going to be worth less than like 90 grand?
It's never.
Like, it just can't be. It can't. I mean, it can. And it may happen,
maybe
ludicrous because when you think of the other stuff you're buying, and you're like, well, you could get that.
Yeah, and it's almost like that. I mean, a 650S, I mean, even if you cat deed it, I don't think you can get it down to 90 grand if you've wrote the thing off. That's just because it's just so many bits that are really expensive in that car. You know, everything's carbon as well. You know, all the bits, ceramic and it's brakes,
serious tech, and serious power.
You know, it is. You think of it, you could almost buy a new Fiesta ST in doing brake change fluid and pads on a 12C.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Your typical service plus warranty work is probably a new Fiesta ST.
Yeah, a Fiesta ST in parts, labour and waiting time. We won't get your car back in
Airbus. I potentially think that McLaren have actually stopped issuing warranties for the older stuff, for the very early 12Cs.
So a friend of mine has got an MP4 12C, and I see him at the Cars and Curry event, and I came up to him and I said, how are you getting on with your McLaren? He said, yeah, I've done well. I've done 18,000 miles in it in the last year. I went, wow. I said, has it been good to you? And then he just went, well, I've had the rear suspension redone, I had the gearbox done out, and he just said, yeah, I've had £45,000 worth of work. I went, well, it hasn't been good to you, has it? And
the thing is, then, that's not a rare story. You talk to anyone that's owned one of those cars.
He's got RAC warranty. I think he just did a lot.
Yeah.
And you just think, yeah, but it's
you just have to have a warranty on that car, that's it.
Yeah, but it's a cool car.
Yeah, cool. It's cool. And super fast.
Yeah, super quick.
And one final question. What's the most interesting car?
The most interesting car? Aesthetically, to drive, just in general.
Yeah, just general.
This is going to be a wild one. I have a slight obsession with American stuff.
Mm.
And as you know, as you was mentioning about Son of Wondering, I quite like Raptors. I love Raptors. Ford F-150 Raptor, to me, is amazing.
They're just very cool.
It's useless here.
They don't suit this country at all. No. If I lived in America, before I'd been to America or seen what the stuff is like around there, I didn't get American cars. And then you get to America and you're like, obviously I'd have a truck.
Yeah.
And obviously I'd have a big V8 or, you know.
Yeah. I mean, they're twin turbo V6.
Yeah.
But it's got, you know, it's got Dakar suspension. You can jump the thing. It's brilliant.
Yeah, the videos. People just like ragging them around. Yes,
people just ragging them around. Some people jump them a bit too high and then, you know, land as if they dropped off a cliff. But to me, that's quite an interesting car. Another interesting car is the Chevrolet Camaro ZL1 1LE. So the ZL1
name for you.
Yeah, that's a mouthful. So the ZL1 sits, it's basically a bit like the 911 Turbo, the fastest in the Camaro range. And they brought out something called the 1LE pack, which gives it like front canards, which could, you know, cut pedestrians. It's a
savage looking thing.
Rear wing, all carbon, just a mean purpose looks at you. It's just got attitude. And it's got, you know, a big supercharged V8, 650 horsepower, manual gearbox, 1700 kilos, but, you know, 305 section tight, square all round, on slicks. You see a puddle, you're off the road.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that is a proper bit of kit. And what's interesting is American cars, we always used to, you know, take the mickey and say, oh, yeah, they don't go around corners, they're rubbish, blah, blah, blah. But GM have, you know, all of them have come a long way from what they are. I mean, magnetic dampers. Bloody hell, the Americans have got magnetic dampers in a car. Ford Mustang, independent rear suspension. Shit the bed, oh my God, what's going on? 8,000 revs out of a V8, wow. So, yeah, I think it's good that, you know, the Americans are trying to bring out sort of GT3 RS variants
their
stock weapon. And, you know, they're bringing it out at an affordable sort of, well, you know, sort of sensible-ish price.
It's a shame that we can't get them as cheap as they are over there.
No.
Even though you bring, like, a Mustang in the UK, it's not a very expensive car, especially for what it is.
It's not. When it first came out, it wasn't. You know, you'd get a 5-litre GT at 34 grand. Now, the facelifted one, I walked into a Ford dealer the other week, and I saw one, and this one had, you know, nice paint, orange paint, all the other bits, and it was 47 grand.
Mm.
And the first thing I went was M2 competition.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I love the German Mustang, yeah, exactly. You start getting into the German stuff.
The Yeah, that definitely. I know someone that bought an earlier Mustang, and they've done, because the price thing has gone up, they've basically held their value.
Yeah, super well. Money. Yeah, they've held their money really well. Because it's a Mustang, and I think it's the fact that people love the fact that there's a UK Mustang. I never thought a UK Mustang would make it, but it has.
And it's different. It's different to the stuff that you see.
Yeah, it's not perfect, but it's different. And you know, and it's a breath of fresh air. And that's what we need. That's what we need in the car industry. We don't want to be keep going.
We don't want everyone to be driving manual GT3s.
No, we don't.
That's pretty boring. I like the fact that people make poor decisions and buy other cars.
Yeah, exactly. I do too. I look at them and I just go, yeah, you do want a GT3. What, you got to get them? How are you going to buy the bloody things anyway? Forget. I mean, that's another debate altogether. But yeah, just go and buy, I don't know, a used Arnage Bentley. I don't know, something like that.
Something different.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's been great having you around.
Yeah, it's been great fun. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for coming. I guess, where can people check you out?
Yeah, you can check me out. Instagram, Sideways Sid. YouTube, Sideways Sid. Pretty much, that's where I'm on there. If you follow me on my stories, I'm always doing stuff, going on live. You can see me doing a couple of stupid stuff in cars, maybe handbrake turns, local Morrison's car, but I'm joking, that's not professional. But yeah, no, check me out on there. Sorry, Sid. So.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out. Sid's GT3 video is very good. Isn't it?
Thank you very much.
I'll check it out.
Brilliant.
Cool. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.